Hi, this is Shannon Storms-Bedore, Real Housewife of Orange County and entrepreneur. When my company, Real for Real, started selling our health products online, we struggled to ship our orders out quickly and without error. But ShipStation's simple dashboard made it easy to manage orders from every marketplace. Plus, with ShipStation, we get up to 84% off USPS and UPS rates. Automate your shipping with ShipStation. Go to ShipStation.com/audio for a free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com/audio.
Hola! We are halfway through the work week and halfway through this here show. We call it the Hump Show, dead center of the work week now. And I think I've got my bearings. I'm not going to tell you again, unless I'm going to joke about it because I'm an idiot. I'm not going to tell you again that the NFL kicks off next weekend because it doesn't. It kicks off the following weekend. At least a few of you are paying attention, or maybe you just don't care. It'll get here when it gets here. But I was thinking ahead about the NFL and I got my dates wrong. I'm definitely anticipating next Thursday because I get to take another trip to Houston. Actually, mom and her husband just had the entire pool redone. But want to hear something funny, Jay? They had the pool emptied and then cleaned and then repainted and resealed. So the pool's relatively old. It predates them, right? They bought the house from an older couple who had the pool. So they got it all fixed up. It's a different blue. It's really pretty. But there are water restrictions in their neighborhood because they've had so little rain. And so all they can do right now is fill it a few gallons at a time.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, maybe that's drastic. But they really can't run the water back into the pool for more than an hour or so at a time. And it's not a huge pool or anything, but it does have a deep end that goes 10 feet deep.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and so,
take a month.
Right. So it's funny, too, because it's hose water that they're putting into it. And my mom will not get in the pool unless the temp is upper 80s or low 90s, which to me is just wow. When I was there in July, I went in the pool and it was like, it was mid 80s, 88.
It's warm.
But it was refreshing, though, because the air was so much hotter. Mom will not go in unless the temps are about 90 or higher.
That's hot.
Don't know how long it takes for that hose water to warm up where she goes in the pool again.
In Houston? I don't know.
I don't know either. And even though there is this Tropical Storm Harold that is entering Texas, it's more Corpus Christi area. It's even if they get some rain, it'll just be a little bit of rain up in the Houston area. So it's farther down the coast and closer to Mexico where this storm is. They just haven't had rain. It's so crazy because last summer in my neighborhood, we went 10 weeks and had two quick rainstorms. That was it. They were inundated with rain to the point where they had flooding. Now it's the opposite. It's rare that Houston doesn't get rain. Maybe they will during hurricane season, but they haven't gotten any at all. Everything's baking. Everything's brown. Everything's dried out. Meanwhile, we have gone maybe 4 or 5 days without rain a couple times this summer. That's it.
I think last week we went. I don't think I saw the sun last week.
Yeah, we didn't. Yeah. I even said that to Bob on the phone. I don't remember the last time I didn't see that I saw the sun, right, that we didn't have rain. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We're a half hour away from Ask Amy Anything. Producer Jay has informed me he is considering your Bob/wedding questions. And so, yes, he's doing that, and I will leave it up to him. But in case you hadn't heard, we will be doing a video version of Ask Amy Anything that will revolve around your frequently asked questions as I prepare to get married. There are so many questions, and I really appreciate that you all care. But there are a couple that the answer is just no. I'm sorry. You can be mad at me if you want. I'm pretty consistent on my social media where I very rarely share pictures of family. I shared pictures of my Grammy Helen. She's the one family member that I would share plenty of photos of. Number one, because she was beautiful. Number two, because she was never on social media, did not have a computer, would have no idea what people were saying about her. Number three, she was 97, 98, 99 years old. No one is going to criticize the photo of a 98, 99, 100-year-old. Okay, so I felt like it was safe to share photos of her. I have posted photos of my mother, a couple with my brother in the past. Pretty much that's it. And there are reasons, and I don't expect you to understand, but I'll explain why. I know it's my choice to be in the public eye, and so whatever I post on social or you say to me on social, okay, I get it. You feel like I'm open game. I don't always agree. I think people can be really rude and inappropriate, but that's social media. And I have chosen this job, which puts me in the public eye. It's my choice. It's not Bob's choice. Now, is he proud of me? Does he love me and admire me for the career that I've carved out in a business that's extremely tough for women? Yes. He listens to the show every day. He fast forwards through the parts about sports. That's my favorite thing. When he tells me, I'll ask him if he heard my point on this sport or that. Nah, I fast forward through the parts on sports.
That's true love.
He really prefers the stories. He really prefers, oh, let's be fair. He really prefers it when I talk about him. Anyway, he just enjoys the personality side of things. And I think he also enjoys hearing my voice because he listens when I'm sleeping. Anyway, it's not Bob's choice to be in the public eye. And for those of you who can identify with this emotion, I am extremely protective of the people I love, whether family or friends. I don't care what you say to me. I'm used to it by now. But I get furious or hurt or upset when people attack those that I love. Whether it's family members, which Bob is soon to be, whether it's friends of mine, I don't handle that type of criticism well. It's not that Bob cares. He doesn't. I care what people would say about him. I care about people evaluating what we look like together and whether or not we're a good match and whether or not he's this or he's that. I care. Again, I choose to be in this position. I choose to be a national radio host. I choose to be on social media. But you know me. I hate a lot of the way that social media goes. I despise that humans will do and say anything when they feel like there's no accountability and they're anonymous. That's my experience with social media. And I will not put my family and friends in that space where my instinct to protect them is so strong and my instinct to defend them is so strong that I wouldn't be able to hold back. I wouldn't have the same self-control that I do when people come at me. So while I appreciate that you all want to see photos of us, photos from the wedding, photos of my ring, I understand that that's because you care about me for the most part. I would say the vast majority of you, you're curious because you care. Thank you for that. I'm still considering whether or not to share a photo from the wedding. It would probably be more panoramic with me in some small space off in the corner. Or maybe it's a photo from the other end of the barn where we're doing our reception. Maybe it's something like that. It's not that I care what you say about me, because I don't. I just would have a really hard time accepting anything negative or rude or inappropriate about the man that I love, same as I can't stand it when it comes to my family. There's a reason I don't post photos of my nieces. It's personal, it's private, the relationship. And again, I'm glad that you care. It's just I can't put the people that I care about in that space where comments come in nonstop and merciless in some cases. It's not right. That's my experience with social media. Maybe yours is different. I hope it is different, but it's pretty standard for me, and it's not fair to do to the people I care about. Even if they don't mind, I mind. I mind what's said about the people that I love. So for that reason, I'm not posting any photos. At this point, I'm pretty opposed to putting any photos up of the two of us. I love this tweet that I just got, though. I respect your privacy and won't ask for pics. Is Bob at least an attractive dude? No, actually. I decided, you know what? I'm so old that I better marry someone ugly because I can't do any better. I decided, you know what? I'll just settle. He's got a job. He's the same height as me. We laugh together. We enjoy each other's company. We talk nonstop, but who cares what he looks like, right? Because I'm so old that I can't do any better. That's it. That's it, Jay. I've just decided I'm going to marry someone who's extremely ugly that I'm not attracted to because I can't do any better.
He barely even resembles a human.
Right. More like a troll,
yeah,
really.
That's what I was thinking.
Yes. Yes, I think he's very attractive. Thank you for asking.
No, he's hideous. I love him.
I can't actually look at him square on because
makes
he's
me vomit, but
yeah, he's so ugly. But
what are you doing?
Wait till he hears this. Oh heavens. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So send your questions, other than questions for photos, to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page. And the number of people who actually think it's fake continues to blow me away. Oh, my gosh. You guys are crazy. I mean, like, never in my life have I considered faking an engagement or a wedding. But somehow that's how you all think. That's crazy.
That's like on par with faking your death. Which one's harder? Like the dead, you can just disappear. Faking your marriage, you got to like play that out every single day. You got to like really commit to that.
Even to the point where I've told my neighbors and stuff, I'm just going to hire some dude to live with me. So,
Oh, he only comes on Tuesdays and Thursdays. Oh, he's the gardener.
He's the gardener. I don't even have a garden, but he's the gardener. Oh, my gosh. You guys, see what I mean about social media? It's stupid. Many of you care, and you're very kind, but a lot of what we get on social media is just a cesspool. It's stupid. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Okay, I got that off my chest. I feel a little bit better now. Oh, speaking of getting things off your chest, we were talking about Jay Monahan and the golf merger between PGA and LIV and how we really are no farther down the road than we were 4 months ago or 3 months ago. So there's not a whole lot of new information, except that now Jay Monahan is speaking out himself post a hiatus because he was dealing with anxiety over the whole thing. But there is something that John Rahm wants to get off his chest. And I've wondered how this affects athletes. Rahm is the first that I've heard speak about it publicly. Because you can bet on your phone and place wagers on your phone, there are certainly fans at sporting events that are placing wagers while they're in the arenas or at the stadiums. Rahm is saying that it's become so common for fans at golf courses to be placing wagers in that moment that not only are they speaking out loud about it, right? You know, the whole golf clap and golf etiquette thing, you're supposed to be quiet, but the golfers can actually hear them. And in some cases, the fans are addressing them as they're placing these bets in the moment on their phones while they're out there on the courses.
I feel like we hear it every single round. That happens way more often than you guys may hear. I mean, it's very, very present. In golf, spectators are very close. And even if they're not directly talking to you, they're close enough to, if they say to your buddy, I bet you $10 he's going to miss it, you hear it. So it happens more often than you think. Yeah, I mean, that's... But not only that, on the tee and down the fairway, I mean, luckily golf fans are pretty good for the most part, and you're hearing the positive, right? Like, I got $20, you make birdie here, things like that. But it's more often than you think.
Is that something
It's not caught on TV, maybe, yeah, but it's something that happens, yeah.
It doesn't surprise me, considering what we see on social. I'll go back to social here for a second. How often do we see fans, irate fans who lost money on fantasy football or some other fantasy, actually use social media to lambaste the athletes that they feel like let them down or cost them money? It's so outrageous to me that some athletes receive death threats because they didn't perform in the clutch, or because, again, a particular fan lost money because he or she was betting on fantasy football and one of your top options had a bad week. Or maybe didn't have a bad week, but just didn't score a touchdown. And so you go after them on social media. So why then, it stands to reason, wouldn't fans who have access to the golfers, you know how close they get to golfers. They're behind the ropes, but you're very often within feet of golfers. If you're following them through all 18 holes, or if you're standing at the ropes on a particular hole and you stay put, you're absolutely able to have conversations with these golfers. And in some cases, if it's a smaller tournament or the golfers are not as well known, it's quiet on these holes. And you can hear everything they're saying and they can hear what you're saying. And so with John Rahm kind of bringing this to our attention, yeah, it makes sense. The PGA maybe should step in or do something. I just have no idea what the tour could possibly do.
In a game like this where you're allowed to have your favorites, but it's not a team aspect, right? It's not a home team against a visiting team. I think the tour maybe should look into it, because you don't want it to get out of hand, right? It's very easy, very, very easy in golf if you want to affect somebody, right? You're so close, you can yell at the wrong time, and it's very easy for that to happen. So I think they could look into it. But at the same time, it would be extremely difficult for the tour to somehow control the 50,000 people scattered around the golf course, right? So it's a complicated subject. You don't want it to get out of control, but you also want to have the funds, the fans to have the experience they want to have. So
it's a problem. It is, right? It's a problem. But the leagues are in bed with these gambling organizations, whether it's sports books, whether it's fantasy like DraftKings. I mean, we promote DraftKings here on the show. Whatever it is, the leagues have chosen to navigate the slippery slope, and it's affecting the athletes. I actually did a podcast with a friend who has reached out to me a couple times, asked me to be part of his broadcast. And we were talking about the gambling and the challenge for, in this case, NFL players who have some complicated rules they have to learn so that they can bet on particular sports, but not football and not in the building and not during the season and la, la, la. Here's my advice. Just don't bet until you're done being a professional athlete. That way, there's no chance that you can ever be accused of nefarious conduct. There's no chance you can ever be accused of throwing a game or affecting the action or the outcome. And also, there's no chance you'll ever get suspended. If you don't gamble while you're a pro athlete, you don't have to worry about the risk. And I think it's too much to risk. Not every athlete makes millions of dollars. Not every athlete gets a free agent contract that's fully guaranteed for tens of millions or hundreds of millions of dollars. We focus on those, but it's more the aberration than the rule. It's more the minority that you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars for athletes. But even $5 million, $10 million, I could live on that for the rest of my life. Not to mention my kids, my grandkids. That's generational money. For most American families, $5 million is a lot of money. $10 million is a lot of money. So if you make that over the course of your NFL career, let's say you play 7-8 years, you have your rookie deal, even if you didn't get drafted, maybe you go through multiple different free agent deals, you might make enough money that you can invest and you can be comfortable, not have to worry about money for the rest of your life. And you can take care of your family. Awesome. Would you really risk that over a $250 bet? Some people do. But I say wait till you're done playing pro sports. The average NFL career, the average NBA career, they don't even last 5 years. Just go 5 years without gambling and then you don't have to worry about it. I've been telling you, the NFL specifically, and I wouldn't be surprised if the NBA is doing the same thing, they are meticulous about tracking your activity on your phones. And because these players sign contracts to be in the league, I mean, they've got the type of technology and the type of I want to call them hackers, but they're not really hackers. They're more like trackers. They're people. The kind of caliber that work for the FBI and law enforcement agencies that the NFL is employing to track what athletes are doing and whether or not they're betting. Your digital footprint, it goes with you everywhere. You really cannot live off the grid if you have a cell phone. Your actions, your activities, they are never going to be completely private if you have a cell phone or a device. The NFL knows that. That's how they keep catching these guys. But also, I think there are a fair number of them that don't actually know the rules. Just don't bet. And definitely don't bet on football. It's not worth the risk. But as Ron points out, fans are doing it. And the more access fans have, the more athletes are going to hear about it in that moment. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, and also on our Facebook page. Let's see, coming up, a couple of really neat achievements for female athletes, including one whose story over the last couple years has been a rocky one, definitely a roller coaster ride. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Sharika Jackson, Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce, Talu, here comes Sha'Carri Richardson! Sha'Carri's done it!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Where have you heard the name Sha'Carri Richardson before? Well, she goes by Show Me Sha'Carri, and she is vibrant and bold and brash and fast. And now, on top of the track and field world yet again, as you hear, and I know it's audio from an event that is best served with video, but she is a world champion. So after competing at the World Championships in Budapest on Monday, she wins the 100 meters with a gold and does so in not just a personal best, but is the fifth fastest woman to get to 100 meters in history. This coming from a woman who was in the depths of despair, was rock bottom before the last Olympics. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. If you don't remember Sha'Carri and her story, she was stripped of her national title and banned from the Tokyo Olympics going back to 21 because she tested positive for marijuana. And it was very controversial. Obviously, there are a lot of leagues, pro sports, even college sports now, in many cases, that are no longer testing for marijuana. And many of them don't even consider it to be a banned substance. Obviously, in some states, a lot of states now, it's legal. Not just for medicinal purposes, but for recreational purposes. But because the World Anti-Doping Agency still considers it a banned substance and still has it on their list of banned substances, she was barred from the Olympics. I remember her tears. I remember just the shock of the track and field world, but also the reaction. It was really controversial in 21. Then, maybe because she wasn't ready mentally, physically, she didn't even make the semis in the 22 championships, the U.S. championships, meaning she wasn't even in the final few heats among the top runners in the United States. And so to work her way back to the point where she has a personal best and where she is the world champion in the 100 meters, it's full circle for Sha'Carri. And as you can imagine, there are a lot of people that were not only blown away by it, because it was a bit of a surprise considering what she's gone through the last couple of years, but thrilled for her because this is really her reascension to the top of this world that she had been so active and really had been one of those athletes that was expected to medal at the Olympics.
Waiting was just nerve-wracking, knowing that all of them ladies that I lined up against are heavy hitters. Everybody that came into that race put their best foot forward. So, but feeling like I just executed my best, not even knowing what the result was, just feeling like I executed my best was the biggest thing for myself. And seeing my name pop up also with a PR, that was a PR for me, you guys. So it was just amazing knowing that literally I put my best race forward and I came out with the victory that we've been training for all season long.
On NBC Sports, the race, if you haven't seen it, is up there on their social media. It was also a world championship record, the event record. And so for her to come full circle and to find this redemption, this vindication, I think is a pretty incredible story. But yeah, there was a lot of negative attention around her. And she had to not just battle the outside, but battle internal and inside. And the frustration, the failure, feeling like she squandered an opportunity, or maybe even the anger at the rules that she considered old and archaic and unnecessary, but then even so not being ready when the opportunity came around again for the U.S. championships and failing to compete in worlds because she didn't do her best at the U.S. championships to now being the world champion.
The fact that I'm sitting here now and I am a world champion, it just, the difference between now and then is just, like I said, I've been whole with myself. I've been able to, like I said, stay in my faith, stay grounded. The people around me knowing to keep who is around me, who genuinely cares for me and who doesn't, and just staying dedicated and focused, blocking out the noise, blocking out media like yourself, and just continuing to go forward. I feel great.
Congratulations to Sha'Carri Richardson. And while we're still a couple years away from the Olympics, that would seemingly be on the horizon. She's only 23 years old and now is back in a way that it's not just physically back and world champion, but also mentally. You can hear the peace. You can hear the joy there. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio. While we're talking about incredible women in sport, Asia Wilson, 53 points for the Las Vegas Aces, which ties the WNBA single game scoring record. And we grabbed a couple of pieces of audio from her as well, because if you don't watch the WNBA, maybe you don't know who she is, but she is a star for the Aces.
My teammates found me in my spots, and I was just really aggressive today. That's pretty much, I don't think there's anything different than I've been doing, and just kind of went into the hoop a little bit more. But other than that, I feel like our defense was sucky in the beginning, but it started to open up a lot once we started buckling in on throughout the second half. So it opened up a lot of different things for us to score the basketball.
I'm not sure what she does for an encore. If you follow the WNBA, you may know this. Not even 2 weeks ago, she had a career high with 40 points for the Las Vegas Aces, who are one of the top teams in the league. But yeah, then on the road in Atlanta, where she had family and friends who were there to watch her, she has 53 points, so obviously ups her career high, but also ties that single game record for the league. Yeah, so to be able to do it in front of people who know her personally and who are rooting her on, who were there to see her, that's extra sweet.
It's super dope. My mom is at work. She couldn't make it to the game, and I'm so sorry, mommy. But it was super cool to see my brother and my dad in the stands. But always just Gamecock fans, everybody in between, just fans of us. It's cool that we could come out and entertain them in this way. So it's a blessing to be able just to have the following for all of us. It's a big deal.
Lots of extra attention on the WNBA because the games are now carried, a lot of them on ESPN or on ABC. They've got this big contract with the broadcaster, and yeah, there's extra profile. And definitely pay attention to what the Aces are doing. They're 29-4 right now, and you know their coach is Becky Hammon. Remember, she got suspended at the beginning of the season, but she's fierce. She is the Greg Popovich, budding Greg Popovich of the Las Vegas Aces and of the WNBA. So congratulations to Asia. Kelsey Plum and Asia were sitting together at the post-game press conference, and Kelsey's one of my favorites in the WNBA. Just big smiles on their faces and really cool moment for the league, but also for Asia and her family personally. Love it. She says, mommy, I'm sorry, mommy. That's cute. All right, coming up next, your chance to ask Amy anything. Last couple minutes to post your questions to Twitter, After Hours CBS, or to our Facebook page.
It's super dope.
It's super dope. Sorry, mommy.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Time to ask Amy anything. Sort of.
Hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
I almost feel like it's unfair because so many of you have wedding questions, but here's how we've chosen to do it. We're going to do a video version of Ask Amy Anything. Jay and I will work on this, and we're going to essentially make it frequently asked questions about Amy's pending nuptials. I honestly didn't think it would be that big of a deal. I mean, I'm planning on sharing some of the fun stories with you, like the goofy stuff. As we make plans and preparations, there have been some pretty funny stories already. I would have to ask Bob if I can share the proposal story. I'm not sure that it's cute only because he was cute, but I don't know. That's really personal and private. So I haven't wanted to share that story because I wouldn't do it unless he thought it was okay. And I probably wouldn't tell you all the details. But anyway, there are some fun like wedding planning stories that I want to get to, and I will at some point. But we're going to save them for a video version of Ask Amy Anything, since we're getting a lot of the same questions over and over again.
Yeah, they are pouring in. So the video
thank you
version
for being interested. Yeah, I didn't expect that. I honestly did not.
It's going to be a long one, but it's going to be a good one. But we are
a long one. He thinks we're going to do a half-hour version of Ask Amy Anything.
Based on these questions that are coming in.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
But we will start with one Bob-themed question here.
Bob-themed. Okay.
Just to quench the thirst
go.
A little bit.
Let's go here on Ask Amy Anything.
So James, not myself, wants to know, if Bob was a Star Wars character, which character would he be?
Oh, that's funny. Oh, gosh, that is really funny. Would he be a Jedi or would he be a Sith? He wouldn't be a Sith. He's too genuine for that. I was going to say Darth Maul, but that would give you the indication that he's ugly with horns coming out of his head. I'll go with Obi-Wan. I think he would be Obi-Wan. Wise, smart, has a fun sense of humor, actually, and he and Anakin would go back and forth. But I would also say not a perfect human, right? Neither of us is perfect. Perfect for each other, but we're not perfect. And Obi-Wan was very much in touch with some of his mistakes. He took his mistakes really hard, right? I think Bob does that. He beats himself up for mistakes. He's a thinker, and Obi-Wan was definitely a thinker.
It's a very flattering answer.
I mean, I love him. If you want to ask me about the character that I would say most resembles you, I'd probably come up with a positive one as well because we're friends.
Okay. All right. So now this one comes from Rich, who wants to know, what advice can you give a person who is looking for someone to be in a relationship with?
Oh, gosh, that's so hard. I wish I had anything that I could tell you other than this. Don't give up. Don't settle and don't give up. If I just wanted to get married, I could have done it multiple times along the way, but I didn't just want to get married. I wanted to be in a relationship that would be heart, soul, mind, body, spirit, all of those things with a partner in not just our personal lives, but a partner in professional lives, a partner in ministry. We both feel strongly about serving in the church and also serving in the mission field. We have a lot in common, but we're very different as well. And also, this is something that matters to me a lot. He's proud of me. He doesn't want me to be something I'm not. For the first time in a relationship, I feel completely free to be exactly who I am. He doesn't want me to change who I am. So don't settle and don't give up. If there's a partner for me, then there's a partner for you. And it took a lot of years, a lot of tears. I mean, I don't mind telling you, there were years and years where I cried more than I laughed. Penny really helped with that. She helped me to bridge the gap. And even my Grammy Helen telling me to hurry up. You better hurry up. I'm not going to be around forever. Now it just breaks my heart. But this is something you can't rush. And also don't try to make a square peg fit into a round hole. If it doesn't work, if it doesn't fit, if you have to try too hard, there's a reason, right? Don't force it. I'm not saying relationships are easy. Don't get me wrong. But if it's striving and it's constant friction, it's not meant to be. Yeah. Don't change who you are. Don't force it. Don't give up. And also don't settle. Those would be my four don'ts when it comes to a relationship.
Should be in a textbook. That was very sound.
Oh, well, Jay, that's for you.
I'll take it. This one comes in from Paul, who, this goes back to the story about your mom's new pool we were talking about a little earlier in the hour. Mm-hmm. Paul, maybe a little bit of a question, more of a concern. He goes, has your mom asked the fire department if they can come over and fill the new pool?
Interesting. What? Wouldn't that be embarrassing to ask the fire department to come over with a bunch of water when they're under water restrictions and be like, hey, can you fill out the pool? We don't have a fire here, but would you mind just directing the hoses at the pool?
Yeah, I guess that's not really what they're there for, but it's an interesting idea.
Okay, I guess. I feel like they'd get laughed at. I could be wrong, but if you were answering the phone at the firehouse, would you laugh at a request like that?
Probably. Especially if you're under a water restriction.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
This one comes from JR, who wants to know, with school starting back up for kids across the country, what was Amy Lawrence's favorite subject in school growing up?
Oh, that's a good question. I loved them all. I'm a history buff, and I loved my history teacher. Mrs. Dumas was her name. I also loved accounting. Mrs. McMeachin was my accounting teacher when I was in eighth grade and then took a couple more classes later in my high school career. My mom was my math teacher, and I was good at math. I was anal retentive about math, but I don't know that I loved math. Loved English. Mrs. Noyce was my English teacher. So, yeah, there were a lot of real good ones that I appreciated. I was one of those nerds that cried when I missed a day of school. I always wanted to have perfect attendance. I know, you should see Jay's face right now. He's like, oh, my God, you were one of those people. Yep, that was me. I loved school. It's funny when I ask my fourth and fifth graders now on Sundays, how many days until school? They groan at me. No, stop it. No, don't ask us that. But I loved school. Loved it.
I might have been out of school more than I was actually there.
Oh, but. No. So this is why Jay is... Never mind. I'm not going to... Why he's
continue.
Working at a radio producer. Just teasing.
I hear you. This one comes from Frank, who wants to know, what kind of cheese is in your fridge right now?
Mozz and provolone. So I have shredded mozzarella, a couple bags of it, actually. And then I also have sliced provolone, non-smoked. I do not like smoked provolone. I don't like smoked cheese. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've got... Oh, I actually have some Parmesan shredded cheese as well. So there's that, too. Every good Italian must have shredded Parmesan.
Always. Let's keep it food here for a second. Brian wants to know, what's your favorite bagel?
Everything. Everything bagel. Everything bagel with, well, if it's warmed up, then a ton of cream cheese. Or if it's not warmed up... then peanut butter.
Ooh,
it
nice.
Sounds weird, but I do love... I like my bagels with peanut butter on them, but not if they're crusty and toasty. Mm. I don't know. The peanut butter starts to run. It gets liquidy. Just, I'm sorry. It's weird. It's a thing
it's
with
a
me.
Personal preference.
Yeah. So I love cream cheese or I love peanut butter on bagels.
We'll do one more with food. Bill wants to know, what's your favorite food at a fair?
Oh, my gosh. Have you never asked me this question before? I'm sure you have. Do you know the answer? Cheeseburger on a glazed donut.
I've never asked that.
Oh, it is so unbelievably good. It's amazing. It's the sweet and the sour. Yes, you slice the glazed donut in half and you put the cheeseburger in the middle. You obviously don't have ketchup on your cheeseburger at this point. You put nothing on it. It's just the cheeseburger off the grill with the cheese melted on top, right? And then you've got the two slabs of the glazed donut. It's the most incredible thing I've ever tasted. Sweet and salty and... I mean, it's a heart attack on a plate, but it's so good.
We're going to need two of those.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Of course, I love fried dough. Who doesn't love fried dough with the powdered sugar all over it? Love French fries and all that, but... Cheeseburger on a glazed donut. You have not lived until you've had a fair cheeseburger on a glazed donut.
I am so into that.
Right, of course you are.
This next one I really like. It comes from Alan. He says, if the technology, i.e. cell phones and social media of 2023 were available when you were in grade school or high school, how would teenage Amy use the technology?
My gosh, I was obsessed with different celebrity actors and actresses. I used to take magazines like People and other magazines like that and cut photos out of my favorite celebrities. And a lot of them were just, they were beautiful actresses that I admired because of what they looked like, right? Not because I knew anything about them. And so I can imagine that I would spend all my time on websites like that, People.com or Variety.com. Of course, Star Wars, too, because I played Star Wars as a kid. My brother and I had figurines and ships, and we would set up our basement as a Star Wars universe. And so I can imagine I would have been all about watching Star Wars movies or watching any type of Star Wars TV show. And then I love Scooby-Doo, right? So Scooby-Doo. There would have been plenty of Scooby-Doo goofiness on the internet.
Last one here before rapid fire. David wants to know, how much time do you take to prepare for your fantasy football draft?
10 minutes. I mean, I think about it ahead of time, but until I know where I'm drafting and until I see what other people are doing, I do set up my queue with your wish list for the first, I don't know, 20 picks or something like that. But for the most part, I don't put a lot of thought into it. Because the problem is when you overthink it, that's when you suck.
Have you gotten your draft order yet?
No.
Or date?
I haven't even heard from our commissioner. I think she kicked me out because I won last year.
She's trying
to eliminate the competition.
Be smart, but can't do that. All right, let's end with some rapid fire. Cupcakes or donuts, as we just mentioned, donuts?
Donuts.
Attend a concert or a Broadway show?
Oh, concert.
Watch an entire TV series or read an entire book in one day?
Oh my gosh, do I actually have the time to read a book in one day? Yeah, I'm going book.
Manual labor or computer screen labor?
Manual labor.
Never get tired or never have to go to the bathroom?
What? never get tired.
Walk a pig or walk a turtle?
You can't really walk a turtle. I'll walk a pig. I do love piggers.
Only be able to eat using a fork or only to be able to use a spoon?
I'm a big spoon person. I use a spoon more than anything.
Last one here. Be trapped in a romantic comedy with your enemies or be trapped in a horror movie with your friends?
Oh, give me the friends every time. Ride or die, baby. We'll track down that horror monster.
You'll get him.
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.